Discerning the Signs of the Times by Peter Amsterdam.
We have certainly witnessed times of trouble for many people around the world in recent times, at an unprecedented level in some ways, due to modern technology that enables us to see events unfold in real time all around the globe. We have seen struggles related to racism, discrimination, and bias, questions about authority and violence, corruption in high places, and interrogations about the boundaries between personal freedom and civic responsibilities. We certainly are living in troublous times in many ways. Of course, it is important to remember that every generation has experienced its own unique set of challenges, struggles, and growing pains. If we look through history, we see this constant pattern. This is not surprising to Christians, as we know that we live in a fallen world and that sin is a reality that must be confronted in every generation, as it manifests in the evils of poverty, oppression, war, and inhumanity. In that sense, as it was written in Ecclesiastes, what has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. We are not surprised by world conditions as we know the cause, humanity's broken relationship with God, and the effects of that brokenness. As Christians, however, our ultimate hope isn't in this world or its political systems, as we know these are temporal and will pass away. We count ourselves amongst those described in Hebrews who have no lasting city on this earth, but desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. We eagerly look forward to Jesus' second coming, when all the pain, suffering, evils, and injustice will be made right, and the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Nearly 2,000 years have passed since John wrote at the end of the book of Revelation, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus." And believers have wholeheartedly echoed this sentiment since then and continue to do so today. Many Christians have been seeking to understand the relevance of current events and contemporary culture as they relate to the timetable for Jesus' second coming. Are current world conditions, including modern technology, globalization, the widespread preaching of the gospel, the move to cashless economies and worldwide digital currencies, signs that we have entered or are entering the final 7 years that will precede the second coming of Jesus Christ? How are we to interpret current events in light of their relevance to the end time, and what conclusions can we draw? The answers to such questions are to be drawn first and foremost from Scripture and what the Bible cumulatively teaches us about the period immediately leading up to Jesus' second coming. Of course, the exact details of how these events will play out are not as detailed as we would like, but the Bible does provide a clear outline of what we can expect to see, collectively referred to as the signs of the times. Let's review some of these. Signs of the times. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. The version in the Gospel of Luke also includes pestilences in the list of signs. As we look through history, we can see that these beginning of birth pains have been occurring since the time of Jesus, referred to in the Bible as the last days, to describe the period of time between Jesus' first and second coming. There have been wars and rumors of wars, though in some periods of history much more so than today, such as during the world wars of the first half of the 20th century. There have been and continue to be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. Jesus referred to all these as being only the beginning of sorrows. When discerning the signs of the times, we need to look at the cumulative signs of the times, all these things, and not just one sign in isolation. These signs are found throughout the New Testament and Bible prophecy, primarily in the books of Daniel and Revelation, as well as Matthew 24, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. However, the Bible describes some signs that we will see and thus know that the end is at the very gates. Among other things, the Bible tells us that we will see the following: lawlessness will increase and the love of many will wax cold. The gospel will be preached in all the world. There will come a great falling away from God. A world dictator known in the Bible as the Antichrist will rise and will sign an agreement referred to as the covenant, which will temporarily bring a measure of peace and security to the world and usher in the last 7 years before Jesus' second coming. People will be required to receive the mark of the beast, some form of electronic monetary system and identification with this world government, without which they will not be permitted to buy or sell. There will be a time of great tribulation and persecution of Christians for the final 3.5 years before Jesus' second coming. When we hear of various interpretations of current events and conditions, or that certain political events or cashless monetary systems indicate that we are now in the last 7 years, such things can raise concerns. When considering such interpretations, our first step should be to measure these against what Scripture tells us about the period leading up to Jesus' second coming. We need to look at the specifics concerning a particular sign that are described in the Bible. For example, what does Scripture say about the mark of the beast? Is it possible that it has already been instituted secretly? According to the information we have been given in Scripture, the mark of the beast is instituted after the covenant is broken and is tied to acceptance of the Antichrist in his reign and worship of his person. Have we seen the signs that would precede the mark of the beast, such as the revelation of the man of sin, the Antichrist, who exalts himself above God and takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God? We read in Revelation 14:9-11, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God." From what we can gather from the Scriptures about receiving the mark of the beast, it is clearly tied to worship of the beast and worship of his image. Could the mark of the beast be administered when the Antichrist is not risen, his reign is not visible, and people are not being faced with a choice to worship the Antichrist by receiving his mark? These are the types of questions we must ask ourselves when considering different theories and interpretations. We must study and weigh the Scriptures to ensure that we are accurately handling and skillfully teaching the Word of Truth. How to be prepared. There is no question that every day that passes brings the world closer to Jesus' return, and as Christians, we await this triumphant event with eager anticipation, and we want to be prepared for it. Will we experience his second coming in our lifetimes? We can't know that until we see the fulfillment of the definitive signs Jesus and others gave us in the Bible. So what is the type of preparation that we should be concerned with as followers of Jesus? In Matthew 24, after describing what his followers will face during those final days, Jesus tells the disciples, "Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." And Jesus, as if in answer to their unspoken question of how to live in that state of constant readiness, goes on to say, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions." Jesus refocuses the conversation on faithfulness with this reference to the faithful and wise servant, who has been given a responsibility for the master's household and performs his job diligently. He doesn't know when his master is going to return, but that doesn't matter to him. He is focused on being faithful in his work. When the master returns, the servant will be blessed. May we all be faithful to pattern our lives according to God's word, to follow him closely, and be faithful to share the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ with as many people as we can. Whether or not we will personally live to see the final 7 years of world history in our lifetime, how we live our lives during the time God gives us on earth is what ultimately counts. We are called to love God, love others, share the gospel, do our best to live the teachings of Jesus, and teach them to others. If we are faithful to do these things, we can trust that we will be prepared for whatever comes.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.